Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, which means, my friends, I'm Ken Napsok.
And it means I'm Joseph Scrimshaw. This is one of our News and Cues episodes. We're excited to discuss the news and, of course, the Cues, which stands for questions, because we don't want to say the whole word.
No, that takes a lot of time, a lot of time. These episodes lately are just becoming the Kenobi show hype episodes, and I'm here for it, Joseph. I'm here for it.
I will talk to just about anyone at any time about Kenobi, so I'm excited to have some more Kenobi talk.
It's the Ewan McGregor Show here on Four Center. Before we get to the news and your questions and a lot more, we're going to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4Center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. As always, a little bit later, we have our Four Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us, and it helps you, and it helps us, and that's why we stand behind Audible. On That's not all what we stand behind, Joseph. What else we got today?
We are also standing behind Inside Editions. They publish a ton of great Star Wars books and many other kinds of great pop culture books as well. They are offering 35% off across their website with a special Force Center code. To get your discount, you can enter the coupon code FC35, or you can visit the website with this link, insideeditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we've been recommending for weeks this great galactic baking book. This week, we're recommending something new. It is a book called Star Wars Owner's Workshop Manual, Rebel Starfighters. This is one that Inside Edition sent us a while back, and I was flipping through it, and it's really great. I thought it would be just technical. It's got some fun technical stuff, but it really does walk you through all of the different Rebel Starfighters, and it's very cool. So check it out with the code FC35.
I'm going to get that, and I'm going to go right to that Y-Wing page. I think y'all know that. Check it out, like Joseph said, with that code FC35. Joseph, we like to catch up with ourselves and our fans and see what kind of Star Wars and life adventures we had and often how they meet. How are you, sir? And how many trips to Star Wars did you take this week?
I had some good Star Wars adventures this week. In terms of life, it was just more of the same, which is good. You know, doing various creative work, working toward the future, all that great stuff. But the Star Wars adventure I had, Ken, I kind of had a big one for me. Of Saturday, I've been really trying to take Saturdays all the way off. My wife and I usually have a nice relaxing Saturday. My wife had to work this weekend, so I was staring into the beautiful blankness of a Saturday that I had to decide entirely what to do with myself. So I said, the time has finally come. I have been waiting since 2003. I started playing Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, wow. This is big.
Yeah, it's huge, huge. I've gone on such a weird journey with that game. So 2003 is when it came out, right?
Right.
Around that time, I had this this big life change. Broke up with the wonderful woman I had been living with. We're good friends now. Happy memories. But there was a breakup, and I had to go and, you know, kind of have a little bit of a life reboot, including buying my own laptop. And when I was buying the laptop, I was checking the stats to make sure I could play Knights of the Old Republic. That's how like ready I was to play this game.
Yeah.
But then it was this weird time in my life where I had been a little irresponsible with video games and I had overindulged. And then I was really starting this new life with this new computer. And I was like, if I put that game on this computer, there are dark times ahead for old Mr. Scrimshaw. Not in general for anybody, but for where I was at right then.
Yeah.
So I kept clicking on this, memorizing the stats. That's how close I was to having this game be like a major part of my life and then decided not to. And since then, it's always been, I'm going to play that. And then the legend of this game has only built since then. You know, I know we have so many listeners like that. In some ways, this is their Star Wars, right? It's it's an entry point. It's one of the most beloved things in Star Wars. I've read, you know, Wikipedia articles about this story. I've read up on the characters. I've talked to people about it. So I feel like it's kind of been in my life, but I've never sat down and played it. It was like the iPad version of it was like $5 on Star Wars Day on May the 4th. So I downloaded it then and I got started. And it's such a weird kind of time travel.
Yeah.
Both the life experiences that it makes me think about are like, what if I did play this back in 2003, 2004? And then, of course, it is just like, here I am playing it on, you know, an iPad.
Right.
And it is, you know, it's definitely dated, but not in any way that bothers me.
Yeah.
But I'm just having a ton of fun.
That's great.
I'm not far along at all. You know, obviously, there are other people who have played this game tons, so I'm not spilling any new shocking details, but, you know, there's that light side, dark side meter of your choices, and I'm not far in this game at all, but I just had a great Saturday just going, like, I'm going to make every light side choice, and I'm going to approach every person in case they need help, you know, and there's, like, one person you help early on where they're like, oh, thanks for helping me. I guess I could give you something, and, like, one of the options respond is, like, no, helping people is its own reward. And it's like, oh man, I know I could get something. And it's like, nope, helping people is its own reward. And it was a really nice Saturday of just helping people for the most part. And then there's this card game Pazok near the beginning. And I didn't get far in the game because I played a lot of Pazok.
Oh, that's good.
This is great.
Yeah. So there's my fresh revelation of a video game from 2003.
This is huge because, you know, we really value our Force Center friends and listeners, without a doubt. But I always feel that we've shortchanged them, Joseph, because so many of them love that game. And you and I and even Jennifer, like, yeah, we're not super familiar with it. Yeah, we heard of it. now I feel as though you're representing many of the voiceless Knights of the Old Republic fans in the Force Center world.
Yeah, we'll see how long it takes me to finish it. But yeah. Right away when I was starting, I was like, "Ooh, I know we both have a ton on our plates, and it's hard to make time for everything."
Yeah.
But there's some grizzled weirdos right at the beginning that I know you would enjoy.
Hey, maybe one day if you can tear me away when, you know, from my baseball game on my PS4, because whenever I have downtime, that's the world I need to turn off my mind in. I've come close back. I'll tell you what, back at the Jedi Alliance days, there was a plan in place where I was going to play Knights of the Old Republic on Twitch every Monday.
Oh, wow.
And like for an hour or two. And then I pulled out and was like, that's a lot of time.
Yeah. So understandable response.
I love, but this is a great question that you've asked yourself. It's just like, you know, if you had taken that deep dive in back in 2003, how would that have influenced your Star Wars fandom? How would you have looked at the prequels? I don't know those answers. Because I've asked myself that too, because you're right. The friends of my life who love that game, it's deep. Our pal Kev Smets, who loves that game and puts out kind of the Revan fan films and everything, like, It seems to be life changing for them, and so I sometimes wonder, did I miss that change? And so, it looks like you have those same big questions to answer too.
Yeah, I mean, right away there's this. I'm not spoiling anything that the planet you start on is under Sith quarantine, and the term Sith is really thrown around for like the sort of the army and for just kind of like the political group almost that is the Sith, and that's like really weird because that's very different than. Mm-hmm. In canon, the Sith are, is very specific dark wizards, right?
Yeah.
So like there are those little things like that where like, ooh, interesting. I can see if that's the way this has existed in people's minds for a long time. But I think the biggest thing is you can always understand things intellectually and then it's a different thing to feel them. Mm. And I knew it intellectually, but it was really good to feel it that the game's immersive, right? You are encountering everybody and you are making choices about how to treat them.
Yeah.
And I think that is probably what bonds people to this game so much is you're living in this world. You can go back to your apartment.
Yeah.
You can just go talk to people. You can, go sit and play cards and, get really emotionally invested in the world. And I think that's probably why it has such a strong pull, because it's not just a story that people have watched. It's a story that they have lived in.
Yes, they've experienced. They've made choices, invested in their character. I get it. I'm thinking of me on a horse in Red Dead Redemption 2. I get it.
Yeah, it is. It has got a lot of Red Dead energy to me. So yep. I'm having a lot of fun. My character is named Jas Starlash. So Jas and I will have some more adventures.
That's perfect. The adventures of Jas. We'll keep you updated here.
Yeah, so that's it. Sorry, it went on for a little while, but that is, it's a big Star Wars adventure. I've been waiting to start that for a long time.
That's breaking news, man. That's big. That's big.
Yeah. But I want to hear about your life indoor Star Wars adventures.
You know, on my side, other than recovering from my first little cold, and that's all it was, a little sinus infection, it's still kind of, I still sound like a 7-year-old snot-nosed kid a little bit here. Apologize to all the listeners here, but it was my first since like mid-2019, like, it hit me a little bit harder than it used to because it just felt so foreign to be sick again. masks on, hand cleaning, distancing, lockdowns. I mean, I didn't catch anything over the last year and a half. So that's been a bit of a battle. But I did build a Lego Scout Trooper helmet on my Twitch channel, and that's looking really nice. And I love these.
Can you put it on?
I wish, man. I wish. I have a supersized head anyways, but no, this is the little Lego ones they've been releasing, so I'm going to put that on my display with my TIE Fighter, Stormtrooper, and Boba Fett. I don't have the Vader one yet. That's always fun to celebrate. I love those Scout Troopers. It was a birthday gift from our friend of the show, Trey Thompson. And then, you know, this is sad news, but I'm dedicating this episode to a friend of mine who passed away. His name was Gavin, Gavin Siddharth, one of my good friends from second grade on.
Wow.
And we hadn't talked over the last couple of years, life, distance, circumstances, you know, life sometimes gets complicated. We had tried in 2018 to kind of reconnect and life got busy again. And so, hey, that's a lesson. That's a lesson too. Time goes and life goes fast. So connect and reconnect when you can. Nothing bad had happened between us. It's just one of those situations where just, you know, I had moved out of my hometown in 1998, but he was my best friend from like second grade. And we didn't have the same class in second grade. We, you know, Margaret Harlow Elementary School, Rio Grande, California. And on the recess playing fields there one year, the second grade year, our friends, you know, you ever had that thing growing up where like your group of friends, like one weird day, one's on vacation, one's sick, and you're kind of left alone on the playground.
You're just
wandering
or
around
the lunchroom. Yeah.
Or the lunchroom. That was happened to me. And then this friend of mine, Gavin, it happened to him, and he was just kind of sitting in a soccer field by himself. And I just kind of went over and sat next to him in the soccer field. And we started talking about the favorite G.I. Joe vehicles we liked and the favorite Star Wars vehicles we liked and Star Wars. And we connected and became friends. We connected by being, you know, the castaways alone on a playground. I've been close friends for a long time. He was a bit like this, lovable character. He was kind of a bigger dude. And I always talk, my first car was a Ford Fairmont, which was yours as well. And I had dubbed mine the Millennium Fairmont. And if I was Han Solo, he was definitely Chewbacca by size, fur, and sometimes smell. He was just this big character. He was this big dude. And he and I just had a good time. We would just drive around in circles around my hometown, listening to music for years, decades even, anytime I came to town. And he was the guy I saw Phantom Menace with. I saw it with a group of friends, roommates and stuff. But he drove down from my hometown, and we saw it. And he sat next to me at the Winnetka Theater, Pacific Theaters, Winnetka, California, at 10 a.m. or 10:05, whatever it was. And he was one. I've told the story of seeing Phantom Menace and when the long time ago and Lucasfilm and the opening theme explodes, and I reached over and grabbed a friend's shoulder and said, I can't believe we're here. That was my friend Gavin. And he passed away suddenly, unexpectedly last week. I actually didn't get the news for a couple of days, and it kind of shook me. Kind of sad, but I'm choosing to remember the positive times of that. I will never, and you and I are talking about Qui-Gon this week, so I was rewatching Phantom Menace. Just seemed right to watch it again and relive that moment with my friend. So, you know, luminous beings are we, and I've already had some good conversations driving around with my car this week, listening to music and talking to my friend from days gone by. So, Gavin, this Star Wars conversation is for you, my friend.
Oh, that is a great tribute, Ken. And yeah, I think a couple of things come to my mind listening to you share how much this person mm-hmm. was important to you, and then how they sort of walked through Star Wars with you.
Yeah,
it's just such a great reminder of we can absolutely put on our critical hats and discuss which movies work for us and why not. And it's just always so important to me to remember that they're films, they're stories, but they're also just like a big part of our lives. And when we choose to make them that, and they connect us to individuals in powerful ways. And I think that's a part of what I always want to celebrate by doing this podcast is, you know, we're talking about, you know, which shows are coming up and are we worried about them? Or are we not? And all that stuff that, you know, filters them through is entertainment or art, but it's also a community. And it has been for so long. And this is such a great example of that, The Phantom Menace is a billion things to a billion people. And for you, one of the things it will always be is grabbing your friend's shoulder mm-hmm. in excitement, you know?
Yeah. I think it's perfect what you're saying. It's always what we try to accomplish here. We dive deep and you know, not everything will work for everyone and not every movie has to work, not just with Star Wars, but life and art and everything. But I think we never want to move too fast, too far away from Star Wars being this powerful thing for our hearts and our souls. And you're talking about, I loved that moment. I couldn't believe I was sitting in a theater in 1999 seeing new Star Wars, and that's what I was expressing to him. And then you come out of the theater, and then, oh, you got some thoughts, right? You got some thoughts. And there was maybe a part in my life, and I'm sure some listeners out there, especially of our generation, we always talk about that, is who moved away from that joy. And it doesn't mean everything is perfect. It doesn't mean it doesn't deserve some criticism or... But I never, when it comes to Star Wars, I never want to move away too far from that joy. And I felt joy that day. And I always carry that with me. And I do remember going to tying it back to even you, when you and I started hanging out and working together, Jedi Alliance and everything. And it's like, I hearing you talk about the prequels, it was a very intelligent conversation about the prequels that I hadn't experienced before or in years. But just like, oh, yeah, you're right. But also it allowed and helped me move through that fog on the shores of Naboo with a Gungan riding in the battle. Helped me move past that fog of, well, to that moment of, oh, my God, Gavin, we're watching Star Wars. And, you know, and that's part of the reason you and I love working together and nearly 1,000 episodes later still are. And it's that heart and soul of Star Wars that we're here to celebrate.
Yeah. Reconnecting with that joy. Well, I'm sorry that you lost your friend, but what a great tribute.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. This one's for you, Gavin. So, from there, we are going to go to celebration times. Come on. It's moved up. Breaking news last week, Star Wars Celebration 2022 moves up to we're almost like a year away from it now, which is crazy because you're like, oh, so far. It's here tomorrow. It'll be here tomorrow. the return of Star Wars Celebration was set for August 2022. Of course, they had to postpone summer of 2020 responsibly and I think correctly. They moved that to August of 2022. It has now been moved up to May. I want to make sure I got the date right because I may have written that down wrong in my notes. I want to get it right. Yeah, May 25th. 26th or 29th, but Wednesday the 25th through Sunday the 29th. The big days are Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 25 might be, you know, you'll probably gather. Maybe go to an Applebee's, get ready for the event. I count that as a day. This is big news and, makes a lot of sense. I don't know kind of the hows and whys and what's the reason for moving it up and what was going on around the same time. And I'm just, for one, excited about that. Still in Anaheim, of course. Current ticket holders will have their tickets transferred automatically. Refunds will be available until mid-June. So if you're listening and you're like, darn it, can't make that, go act now. So let's start with that, Joseph. Just any thoughts on moving up? Or are you like me? I don't care the reasons. I'm just glad it did.
I'm always a little fascinated with the reasons, but I'm mostly fascinated with the celebration of celebration. Just seeing everybody on social media, so many people on social media explode with joy. My experiences with celebration is that title is very accurate. Yeah. That even when people are wanting to discuss and debate or say their favorite, it's just being wrapped in a big hug of humans celebrating Star Wars. So I'm very excited for it coming back and excited to see all the excitement about it moving up. And we're just in that place where like, yes, even a couple months sooner means it's closer.
Yeah.
And I think for reasons, you know, we can get into that stuff. It absolutely might have to do with, if we do it earlier in the summer, we can tee up this thing that's coming. It could be scheduling based. Also, just from being involved in performing at a lot of conventions, some of this stuff is also just just labyrinth of contracts there are with convention centers or hotels and the rules around them. So some of it might not be all that exciting. It might be the convention center preferred that. And it was better for the contract. You know, you don't know.
More likely than not, that is probably the case of, Star Wars, you want to move this up here? We got this window going to be better for you because August, you got this, you got that. And I'm sure the August 22 was, I don't want to say a stopgap, but, no one really knew what was going on when this was postponed the first time. In fact, Star Wars Celebration 2020 was one of the first events of do we think we're going to go to that? Do we think we're going to go? We don't know. We don't know with the lockdown, the pandemic. We don't know. We don't know. And they were one of the first to make that call, if I remember. So, you know, it might have been a bit of a stopgap and they found a perfect home. May, I mean, come on. May 25th, 26th, this is Star Wars time.
Yeah, that pre-convention Applebee's night you were discussing is the actual release anniversary of several of the films.
Yeah, that's craziness. So Like I said, we're about a year away. Assuming all systems are normal in the world, look, I'm still probably going to be wearing masks for a long time because I liked not having the sniffles until this week. assuming it's normal or somewhat normal, there might be a new normal. I get that. What are we looking forward to at this event? Hopes and dreams for big reveals, panels. 2022 would put it 20 years after Attack the Clones. Joseph, what are you looking for?
That is the first thing I wrote down is Attack the Clones 20th anniversary party.
Nice.
The last one that we attended was 20th anniversary of Phantom Menace. And there was a lot in just like the merch that was built up to celebrate Phantom Menace in a great panel. And I'm really looking forward to that celebration of Attack the Clones anniversary. You know, we just passed the 19th anniversary, and there's a lot of celebration of it on social media, which makes me really excited to actually have a big Attack the Clones multi-day party, because I love that movie, even though it is probably the most criticized of the films. Yeah. The other thing, then, this just sent me on a really fun spiral, Ken, of trying to imagine how different the Star Wars landscape is going to be. When you're thinking about what exactly will have been released by then, and what is going to be released right after, convention is teeing something up, not something that hasn't been announced, but just are we getting hyped for?
Yeah.
So like by May, late May of 2022, we know the Book of Boba Fett will have aired. We know most likely Mandalorian season 3, they're saying, is going to air right after Book of Boba Fett. So that would be early 2022. Possibly Andor, since they are much farther along in the filming, it makes sense to me that that would be earlier in the year.
Right.
And then Kenobi is a big question mark. So it could be to me that some of the panels kind of looking back or celebrating the possibility of the next season would be Book of Boba Fett, Mandalorian, Andor. And maybe the big tee up is to get more and more buzz going for it is Kenobi's, debuting in June.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I have to wait that long for Kenobi. Oh God. Oh God.
Maybe not. They haven't announced official release dates, but that's that, the conventions get people excited who are at the convention, but the conventions also generate a ton of coverage and social media, chatter. So really hyping up Kenobi makes some amount of sense to me.
Oh, 100%. And that you'd almost be a year plus away from that 2023 release date, right? Rogue Squadron and Taika Waititi and all the other rumored projects. And listen to you talk, Joseph, the landscape of Star Wars Celebration is very different from even 2019, right? Where it was movie and a show and also some animation, some look backs and some celebrations, but movie and a show. Now we got movies, and many shows. The amount of panels, the deep dives, there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah, so the shows that I don't think have any chance of being, coming out in 2022, that there could still be panels about and information and big reveals, right? Ahsoka, Rangers of the New Republic, The Acolyte. They'll probably start announcing more things that are coming for Disney Plus. I think there's a possibility of a sizzle reel for Rogue Squadron in December 2023, right?
Yeah.
Maybe definitely something about the Taika Waititi movie, but even more than that, maybe a little bit of a picture of the future of film.
Right. Yeah, you're totally right. The Lando series comes to mind. We don't know next to nothing about the Lando series. All those things. And I'm having a lot of fun.
The Star Wars Visions, too. I don't want to forget that. Yeah.
No, if it's Star Wars Vision, if something like Star Wars Visions or more Star Wars Visions and all those games. Yeah, it's really interesting. And I'm thinking back to 2015. I have so many fond memories of Anaheim 2015. It was such a different time. And we were getting ready to launch into this brave new world. And we'd been, Rebels and New Dawn were kind of like the only things out and some of the new books. And so it's changed and each convention's gotten bigger and the convention culture just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think it will come back in the next year or two where, it's just going to be larger. So I can't even comprehend how just bursting with joy and relief and happiness Star Wars Celebration 2022 will be. So counting down the days and so much to talk about versus, like I said, again, not saying just one movie in 2019, Rise of Skywalker. Like that was a huge event, huge panel. But now you might have three of those. you might have giant panels on every day, all through the day.
Right. Yeah. And that's the really interesting thing to me because, yeah, in 2019, it was Rise of Skywalker, Mando, and Clone Wars Season 7. Those were the kind of big things.
Yep.
And now, you know, each had their own panel, right? And now imagining that you could have, you know, one panel for shows coming up on Disney Plus, or you could have, you know, like 23. Not
right,
quite.
Right.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah. Man, going to be exciting, going to be fun. Force Center will be there in some shape or form or another. We'll be there. Whether we're just in a corner booth at Bubba Gump Shrimp over around the corner on Catella, I'll let you know. But we're going to be there. Gonna be a lot of fun. We might just be hanging. Who knows? Maybe we'll just hang out for 4 days on Galaxy's Edge, Joseph. Just hang.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know I am. I can't wait to be home among the action figures on the floor.
Oh yeah,
on the show floor.
Absolutely. We have a date with Destiny there. You, me, Brian Ward walking around again, just looking at figures, looking at figures. So we'll keep you updated on anything with Star Wars Celebration 2022, of course. Next story, though, another week, another round of Ewan McGregor getting us hyped for the Kenobi series titled Obi-Wan Kenobi. Let's speculate some more, Joseph. This was during an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Ewan was promoting the new TV show he's on, Halsted. Ewan dropped some fun tidbits for the upcoming series at the start of the interview. Though we did mention at the start of the interview, he mentioned all these, quote, reveals spoil it for the fans, which I thought was great, you know, to hear someone on the inside of Crater just being like, man, stop leaking stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think he really has that perspective. Like, I'm an actor. I'm working on the story. And then when the story's done, we'll show it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And yet any interview always is, will you tell me things? And he's like, no.
Yeah. And I think I said Halston. Halston. I meant Halston, the fashion designer Halston. I know who Halston is, people. I just said it wrong. Yeah, but from there, from saying that, he went into some, you know, little tidbits, just getting us hyped up here. He said that on May 4th, because Jimmy asked him if they celebrated Star Wars Day, he said, well, yeah, and he shot a scene with someone very special in his life, not necessarily related to him. There was some speculation that his oldest daughter might have been who he was talking about, but he says not necessarily related. His partner's girlfriend, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, is a thought. I was just, you know, Ahmed Best with a Jar Jar beard. I mean, come on. But he says he's never, I believe he's never been on screen with them before. Wild speculation. We have nothing to go on, Joseph, so let's dive in.
It's absolutely Grogu, for sure. 100%. That's who he's talking about.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. That could very well be it.
Grogu, I think, would be very special to Ewan McGregor. No, I think my guess is it actually is his daughter, and then he was hedging on it. Not necessarily related to me, or else it's like some person that there's no reason for us to know. It is,
right.
You know, some old childhood friend or a stunt double or, you know, somebody who has been in his life in a non-famous capacity. It's a fun thing to speculate on, but I don't think there's any, for myself, I don't think there's any depth. I don't think there's, we're going to dig to find anything story related that is that, you know, significant.
Yeah. Well, he says, you know, shot a scene with someone very special. It doesn't necessarily say that the scene was special.
No, I mean, it really could be like, I'm looking for a canteen on this planet. Which way is it? Oh, thank you.
Thank you. And that's his friend Bob from primary school. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. It's just kind of fun, too, to think about. Everyone taking big swings. I'm right there with you. I want him to, you know, I want it to be something big. But I also just love this part of it, this part of the process. If he's having fun being back in this role and excited to be in this role as a performer. I don't think though I know they tried for years, I do not think he's the type of actor that would have said sure if he didn't really want to do it and didn't feel they could do it. And the fact that he hung through these different iterations shows that he has a lot of faith in what he's doing, but also having a lot of fun. And he seems to be having fun doing this role again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he seems legitimately jazzed about the volume, right? I love that him trying to explain it. We're in this, and he's making the gestures with his hands in a circle. And we're like, it's the volume, Ewan. It's called the volume.
The volume. I love that moment because you could. Yeah, he's clearly visualizing what he sees, and I'm like, what is he seeing? Tell us, Ewan. Tell us.
I also just think it's a great thing to remember. You know, he always shows in interviews his perspective of like, I'm an actor. I I just want to tell the story. Then you see the story. And I really felt like in the beginning of this interview when Jimmy Kimmel was joking with him and saying, like, yeah, is Darth Vader's dressing room bigger than yours? And then Ewan kind of made a joke and then kind of hedged of like, well, if he's even in the show. And Jimmy Kimmel was like, he is. It's been announced. And it truly seemed to me like Ewan McGregor, you know, he's an actor trying to do his job. He's caring about, you know, the character and the experience. And he doesn't remember whether or not it's been announced that Vader's in it. And it really seemed like a wait. Am I not supposed to acknowledge that?
hey, what now? What now? Yeah. Great moments there. He also said, Jimmy asked him about putting on the old costume again, the Kenobi costume. And Ewan said the Obi-Wan costume is, quote, slightly different than you might expect. And this spurned some speculation as well. And, you know, as I stare up at my sideshow figure of Obi-Wan in a cloak with some armor and a lot of things going on up there, what do you think? You're the Kenobi guy here, Joseph. What's your dreams for a slightly different Kenobi costume?
Yeah, I think that the idea that he didn't just have the robes he arrived in, and those are the robes that we see him wearing in A New Hope. And he just paid, I guess, a lot for the water on Tatooine to wash them. The idea that there is some sort of iteration of the robes that are not his Jedi robes, you know, not quite the robes that he's wearing in A New Hope. So something with that it is some iteration of a different version of his farmer robes, more rugged and exploring like that sideshow. The other thing that occurred to me is if we are speculating, hopefully responsibly, if he does indeed go off world and this is not just Kenobi's long nights of thoughts in the desert. If he goes venturing off world, maybe he does not want to be dressed like a farmer slash Jedi. So it's a really interesting idea. Many other people, I'm sure, have had this, but an image that occurred to me, not an idea, an interesting image of Obi-Wan dressed more like a smuggler rogue type, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, looking more like Han or Poe Dameron fashion sense would be pretty amazing.
Rise of Skywalker Poe comes to mind. Just a good ascot, some rolled up sleeves, and some hiking boots. I like this.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm curious about that.
That's actually kind of exciting. Yeah. As far as, like, you know, 10 years in on that desert, I imagine, you know, he's probably going to dress somewhat the same, and there's some great purpose behind it in New Hope. Obviously, we get that. We, you know, Rebels, we see him. He's dressed like the Kenobi we know. But some casual version of that, you know? There's enough people now believing he's Ben. He's just heading into town to hit the store, maybe grab a snack. You know, it's a little different Kenobi. Shorter cape, no hood. I don't know. I can see it.
Yeah. I think whatever it is, it's going to be story-related, and I'm super excited to see it and buy the action figures.
And there you go. That's the big thing. That's the big takeaway. More Kenobi action figures and merchandise. Final thing for me in this interview, as such a 90s nostalgia pop culture nut and a huge Oasis fan, hearing him kind of confirm the story that on Noel Gallagher's 30th birthday in 1997, by the way, that he had a they had a drunken and probably more influenced lightsaber fight in the morning after the party, and that neither really remembers it other than they remember it happened. That's peak 90s for me. Phantom Menace era Ewan McGregor lightsaber fighting with Noel Gallagher. It's an overload for me.
Oh yeah, no, that's very exciting. If you're a fan of the band and Ewan McGregor, but I also just like the it's such a great little crystallization of the different way we talk about things in pop culture that it become some clickbait article at some point, right? That Ewan McGregor gave Noel Gallagher, right?
Yeah.
Gave him a lightsaber lesson, right? Like, that's the clickbait version of it. And then without being super direct, you know, in a charming way, McGregor's like, no, it was some 20-somethings having a drunken lightsaber fight in a garden like many people have had. Yeah. It's not that special.
Not that special. After a night of partying with probably a lot of things we shouldn't party with at this age. Just a little highlight for me as well. So as always, we're just going to, Joseph, let's just admit it. If there's some Kenobi news, we're going to get behind it because this is just shaping up to be one of our not just favorite shows. This isn't a Star Wars event I cannot wait for.
Totally agreed.
Final story of the day. We got a little bit of a little excerpt from Race to Crash Point Tower. This is Daniel Jose Older's middle grade reader, not even young adult, middle grade reader for the High Republic era. We took a little scan through the excerpt. Joseph, any thoughts and themes jump out at you here about what we got going on?
Yeah, no, I thought that it had some great, teases of exactly what it makes sense for Star Wars, but also in particular for the middle grade reader of being in the main character Lula's head as she is wrestling with her emotions of, I want to be the best Jedi ever, but I know I'm already not doing great because a Jedi shouldn't want to be the right. best Jedi ever. And, you know, wrestling with those very relatable issues of coming of age and proving yourself and what you want to be versus what you know you should be. Those kind of just, I think those are the main themes. The excerpt also had the revelation of the other characters, natural, beautiful, flowing, organic planet having been ravaged, which is also just a great Star Wars theme. I think a middle grade theme of loss in general, but loss of home in particular. So a lot of great thematic ideas floating around in it.
Yeah, the Nile doing their thing there. We also got Vernestra Rowe coming back as the High Republic era expands story-wise and character-wise. We got the Drengir, not necessarily in this story, but it seems like a group have gone off to fight them as we move into this next phase and the Rising Storm and all that stuff coming out. We got the Great Republic Fair that a lot of the new stories are going to be built around. So I'm excited to dive into that. You mentioned it, Joseph. As the High Republic area, which is this big publishing initiative, it clearly knew it, and they wanted to go into this middle grade kind of reader level. What value do you find in that as just a Star Wars fan going this direction as well, including it in the bigger picture?
Yeah, I think the power of the middle grade is that it is about coming of age, right? Mm-hmm. It is about that taking your first steps. And I think sometimes when you read those stories, if you're an adult and you're in more of a jaded mood, you could be like, yeah, I already went through that. But I always approach it as like, I think we are always wrestling with those. What is the next step of our evolution? You know, who are we now versus who are we striving to be? And I'm still getting a lot out of the middle grade stories because I think it's wrestling with those stories that are super important for people to encounter as they are young in the same age as the main characters. But I still find value in them because I think there is a connected humanity of always evolving and always coming of age. I'm just coming of older ages than these characters.
Yeah, no, look, I'm right there with you on that. And, I don't go around reading middle grade readers in any other franchise or just stroll through that section at a bookstore if there's bookstores around. But for Star Wars and the Star Wars fan and for us kind of diving into the franchise and just the story overall, I think it's so valuable just to break it all down to the beginning. We can make our jokes about being old and all those kind of things, but I always go back to watching Rebels or Clone Wars, and you go to commercial break and, Cartoon Network kids commercials come up and you can laugh, I'm watching a kid show. But I think it just forces you to focus on the bare bones building blocks of Star Wars. And I love kind of revisiting that from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think these books are very specifically that. The other thing about this excerpt that I found really interesting is, to me, the sort of both the storytelling structure and the marketing structure of the High Republic is coming into focus.
Right.
In that that line where they say, but everyone else was off fighting an army of carnivorous plant creatures called the Drengir. That to me sounds like the Rising Storm, almost like the literal adult characters are off in the adult book.
Yes.
And you can read. So it's starting to feel like you can just read the adult books. Like you could just read Light of the Jedi and then there's some other characters in your adventures are mentioned, but you can just pick right up with the Rising Storm and you will have a full experience. And then at this middle grade level, I feel like that's happening too, because these main characters from the book are from Daniel Jose Older's comic, Star Wars High Republic Adventures, which is technically for younger readers. And then you have Vernestra Rowe appearing too. So it's feeling to me like, just like you could just read the quote unquote adult books, you could just read the middle grade comics and books, and you would still see all these connections. So it feels like it's absolutely working for people like us who are, you know, trying to read all of it, but you could just read at any right. of the various levels and stay a little bit of continuity between the reading levels.
Well said indeed. And it's firing on all cylinders, and the years it took to kind of get to this point, all this to finally come out. They know what they're doing. They knew what they wanted to do. And the general, just every book selling out and top of the charts and the reception there, it's been a big win so far. So excited to dive into even this one here. I say even, like, not to downgrade it, I'm excited to go back to the core of Star Wars with The Race to Crashpoint Tower, which will be released on June 29th. And, you know, we'll talk about it here on Force Center. All right, let's look at the Star Wars news right now. We're going to take a quick break, but before we do, Joseph, we got our Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we want everyone to maybe try out on us. Just a suggestion, but yeah, you know, what do you got?
Yeah, just a suggestion. Not even trying to do any Jedi mind tricks, just a suggestion. But we are lightly suggesting Light of the Jedi by Charles Soule. I'm really, really excited for The Rising Storm, which is coming out soon. And so if anybody wants to get caught up on the High Republic, I think giving a listen to Light of the Jedi is the way to start.
It is a great way to start. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, quick break. We'll reset, but on the other side, we got your questions here on ForceCenter.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
All right, we are back here on 4Center, the big show, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet. Joseph, what are our questions today?
Yeah, we got two questions from Twitter, and we got two questions from our patrons on Patreon. And we're going to start with Twitter with Mike Fink. Mike says, if some of your fave characters could have a pet, we're talking Salacious Crumb level, not a Rancor, who could you see having a little organic versus droid sidekick? And what kind of pet would it be? What kind of fun would it get into? This is such a fun and wholesome question.
It is.
If a Star Wars character had a little organic buddy, who would it be? What kind of fun would they get into? Where did your mind go, Ken?
Well, Joseph, my mind went some spots. It went some places. And I took a pet from the real world and some pets from Star Wars. So I'll start with this one. I am a fan of ferrets. Okay. I had an old prior relationship. Had about three or four ferrets in my life. Interesting little cats, not cats, interesting little ferrets. And so I love them. So I was like, well, who do I place a ferret with in Star Wars? And who's one of my favorite characters? I settled on Claude. The reason being, you and I love Claude and we think he's great at his job. We just don't really know how he does it. No hands as far as we know. He's got the little things on his head. You know, he obviously makes do and he's good and he's respected. But what I love about a ferret is they do go get things for you and they do steal things that they really like. I've experienced that firsthand of no matter where you put it, they'll find it in your room and they'll take that one item. So I think a funny ferret rolling around Claude that goes and gets things for him and he gets through his job. You hire Claude, you have to hire the ferret. That's the first place I went.
Oh, I think that's great. My mind went a couple different places. Not surprisingly, went to Obi-Wan Kenobi because we're talking about him so much. And I just wondered if I'm sure he got lonely in his hut, if he ever had like a trained womp rat. Just to keep him company a little bit, you know, just to, you know, sit by his side while he did some reading, you know.
Love that.
A nice, fun companion. This one, then, my mind went to a weird place, Ken.
Okay.
I know Mike mentioned Salacious Crumb, but there are so many good quacking monkey lizards. All of the different ones that are featured in the Clone Wars helping out Hondo Ohnaka. You know, I have to think that we have seen a lot of nefarious quacking monkey lizards. But I have to think that if someone approached them with love and kindness and understanding, that quacking monkey lizards could also be really great buddies. And that's why my mind created a picture where Finn has brought together a small army of loyal quackian monkey lizards to hang out with, but also, you know, defend one another if necessary.
Yeah.
And that, you know, maybe somebody kind of corners Finn. He's early in his Jedi training. They think that he's an easy target. Yeah. And then Finn's just like, all right, gang. And all these quackian monkey lizards come running out to defend him.
I love that. Resistance, New Republic, Kowakia monkey lizards.
That's exactly, great. Exactly. They're part of the cause.
Okay. I have two more. I maybe thought too hard about this, Joseph. maybe too hard. I'm going first with Emperor Palpatine with a loath cat named Lightning. I'm a dog person and a ferret person. Don't have anything against cats too much. But I'm allergic to him, number one. But I don't know, Palpatine just seems like a cat owner. Seems like the old man on the ledge with just a really angry, maybe smelly, hissy cat. So I'm giving him Lightning the Loathcat.
Yeah, no, I like that. I have had cats growing up. I have known many cats. It's happened more than once where I have gone to a friend's house and they've said, hey, are you okay with cats? I'm like, oh, yeah, I like cats. And, you know, I can usually kind of have a nice, relaxed, friendly vibe and and put animals at ease. And they'll be like, not my cat. My cat is an asshole. Do not make eye contact with him or he will make you bleed. And there's those kind of cats out there. I'd say this is somebody who loves cats who are like professional asshole cats, right?
Yes.
In the idea that Palpatine would have an asshole cat named Lightning of like, Masamita is trying to give him updates and then Masamita just feels horrible pain at his ankle. And Palpatine's like, sorry.
Lightning, no, Lightning, Lightning. So there's that one. And then I went to Kira, you know, Emilia Clarke, one of my favorites. And, you know, season three of Game of Thrones comes to mind of the dragons of a certain age where they just kind of hung on her shoulders and kind of helped intimidate people she was meeting with, right? I don't want to have a dragon in Star Wars. So if we're going to have a Kira series or Kira versus Maul, or we're going to make Solo 2 happen, I want Kira in a position of power in Crimson Dawn with a wart named Blurp at her side, just at her feet. And anytime someone says something that's questionable or a lie, it just blurp, blurp, just warts its way through life. And she'll say, oh, you know, I think Blurp doesn't like you. I don't like you either. And I think she's entrenched in a position of power with her wart Blurp.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. My final one is the light side version of your Palpatine one.
Nice.
Which is, you know, Rey, throughout her career as a character, has shown empathy. And I feel like she's going around the galaxy, maybe finding old Jedi stuff or helping people or looking for people who want to be trained. Maybe I think that she eventually has a cat that is or a ship that is full of Tuukas, right? Because she's not going to let a Tuuka just be alone out there in the galaxy.
Right. No. Oh, God, no. Oh, you know, Rey is really involved with rescue shelters in Star Wars.
Yeah. Like she might start a rescue shelter program before she restarts the Jedi Order.
Yes. Are you going to restart the Jedi Order? Yes, but first, I need to save a lot of animals.
I'm working on the Tuukka rescue program first.
And I would support her. I would support her in that. That's great.
Absolutely. That's great question, Mike. Those were all yours, right?
Yes. I stopped myself.
Yeah, I started going down a long space squirrel rabbit hole, but a squirrel hole because I was delighted to see the space squirrels in that 2D Clone Wars microseries.
Right.
But I'm going to stop myself. We will return to the space squirrels in the future. For now, we'll move on to our next question from Twitter, which comes from Revan1872. Revan says, hi, guys. Why do you think Cut's inhibitor chip never went off during Order 66? Anybody who is not caught up on the Bad Batch, we're going into a little bit of spoiler territory. Cut Laquane, the clone who made the choice, the proud choice for him to desert, to leave the war behind and make a different choice. It appears that his inhibitor chip didn't go off. And if it did, he didn't bother to tell the Bad Batch much about it.
Yeah.
So have you given this thought, Ken? I know I've seen this question floating around the internet. What are your thoughts?
What's funny with Cut, I don't know if we'll ever get the answer, right? Because we don't know if we'll ever see Cut again. Maybe another animated series will pop up and it'll be like a trilogy of Cut stories and Clone Wars, Bad Batch, and Rebels 2 or whatever. So maybe we'll get the official answer down the line. And maybe, you know, it's fun to get lost in the kind of, I don't know, scientific weeds of Star Wars, if you will. My head canon, Joseph, is this kind of this idea of scene with Crosshair and how maybe some part of him was some part of his clone soul was in line with what the inhibitor chip was trying to make him do, as we saw in the opening sequence. And I mean, this is very general, you know, but just like the spirit of it. I'm not saying Crosshair was like, yeah, let's kill Jedi, but just there's maybe something already there. Maybe Cut had just been so far removed and made that choice and so confident in his choice that maybe the inhibitor chip just couldn't connect with anything that was there. Maybe it just fought it off naturally on some energy level that we don't fully understand. It's kind of a in the clouds answer, but he's such a strong character. He made such a strong choice that maybe the inhibitor chip just couldn't find purchase in his soul.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a nebulous answer to some extent, like you're saying, mm-hmm. but it is also the one that just kind of rings true emotionally yeah. of that he's got this extreme individuality, this desire for freedom, and these are all thoughts that he's, you know, held up to the light and turned around. They're not just like, I was following my gut and I ended up here, initially, but then he's really examined those thoughts, right? So maybe there is some amount of the inhibitor chip fired and just didn't have enough success against the amount of individuality and freedom and self-identity that Cut has built up. That's like this story that makes sense to me on kind of like an emotional level. We're all different Star Wars fans, and sometimes like, hey, great, that works emotionally, but how, why?
Right.
What are the details? And for that, where my headcanon goes is, you know, we've got a great story in the Clone Wars season 6 where we saw a faulty inhibitor chip. That's the whole story of Tup, whose inhibitor chip, you know, went off randomly and wildly and caused him pain and disease and, you know, the whole story of Fives trying to dig into it. So it also could be that Cuts is faulty, but in a different way, in that it went off and just like, but it just didn't work or just didn't go off, you know?
Yeah. He had a bad day, a headache, and that was about it.
Two other thoughts. Like, it could be that there is also more of a story and he just didn't express it to the Bad Batch, you know?
Yeah.
So there's always the possibility that there's a story there and we haven't heard it yet. The other thing for me is there is still, I think, a little bit of a beautiful, wonderful ambiguity with the inhibitor chips.
Yeah.
You know, lots of little details have been added over the years. But for me, there's something more to their activation that's left to explore in canon. Because to me, it has to be something more than just literally hearing Sidious say, execute Order 66, right?
Right.
Because we have all of these very painful scenes of Sidious saying that to the commanders. And we've seen clones attack Jedi who were out of earshot, you know?
Right.
So I don't think it's just a verbal command. I feel like there's something more that happened in that moment, you know?
Yeah. It's right now like a techno hypnosis, hypnosis is what I'm trying to say. You know, it comes across like that. And I've always thought, it works for me that it might be a little bit more.
Yeah. Like, is it a, I'm trying to think of the right word where it kind of goes from one person to the next. Maybe it is a little bit of a domino effect. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think there's something more to explain. And the fact that Cut is far away from other clones and far away from any relationship with the Jedi, maybe that assisted as well.
Totally agree with that. Yeah, again, maybe something did happen. We'll see.
Yeah, chain reaction. There we go. It's Monday.
I was going to say a game of telephone where one's like, Order 66. Hey, we got to go somewhere at 6. Hey, dinner's at 6.
Yes, I ordered a sandwich. It's the number 6. What? Executors.
Got it.
Great question, Revan. We'll move on to our questions from Patreon. Douglas Dubois says, with the ever-expanding slate of Star Wars content, be it books, TV shows, films, etc., the opportunities to explore different kinds of storytelling seem endless. But when a new Star Wars movie comes out, the inevitable lines in the sand must be drawn on things like Star Wars humor, which are crossed at your peril. Obviously, in the shows like Rebels, Clone Wars, etc., there have been episodes which dive heavily into horror or political espionage-type genre storytelling, for example. But could we ever see a movie that pushes the boat farther out on this kind of thing? And what is an example you'd love to see? I'd love to see a John Hughes-style coming-of-age film about a bunch of kids, young adults from Coruscant, out of their comfort zone, maybe tangling with some of the dangers of the underworld along the way and learning some valuable life lessons. And obviously, the comedy factor is going to have to breach that Star Wars humor invisible wall. Great thoughts here from Douglas and great question. I want to kind of separate it out, Ken, and first just talk about the Star Wars humor. I think Douglas is so right to point out that among the things that can sometimes divide fans, the style of humor in Star Wars and what the style of Star Wars humor should be is one of the big ones. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about that these days? How are you processing
different kinds of Star Wars humor and the strong opinions about them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, it's been the focal point of some of maybe my fiercest off-camera debates with some friends. And not every bit of comedy is going to work for everybody. You and I know from dancing in the comedy world for decades now, not everything's going to hit. And you got to know what you're trying to do. And I think you and I both are the types that view comedy as a form of communication for us. It's a language for us. We are trying to talk to the world and talk about the world through our comedy. And that doesn't mean I don't like silly things or little stupid humor here now and then. I absolutely do. So comedy from character is big for me. I know it's big for you. And I think that's when it works in Star Wars. I think comedy as a bit of a communication, I think most of it works for me in Last Jedi. I know it doesn't work for everyone, and not all of it stands up for me in the sequel era, but I thought the sequel era just by far is the funniest of the eras. and I really love a lot of the stuff in Rise of Skywalker now, maybe even more than I love in Last Jedi or Force Awakens, where it seems to be funny, character-based banter, tying a little bit to Empire Strikes Back, which is probably the funniest of the original trilogy era. I'm just in rewatching, you know, on Passana, just the whole stuff of the 3PO and the, you know, Festival of the Ancestors and the look back at nothing because everyone's staring at him. I just, it's all that stuff really works for me.
Yeah. And no one asked, but I'm okay too, right? Yeah, I'm paraphrasing, that's one of my favorite Star Wars laugh lines that comes from a very character based place.
Yeah. Yeah. And our droids, you know, is this the afterlife or droids allowed? And a lot of it's character stuff. It works for me. But I know it doesn't work for everybody, but it all goes to the original trilogy. A lot of it comes from what the original trilogy was. Those are the people who seem to be most grumpy to me because we were the most grumpy about the prequels and not everything hits in the prequels for me, but watch Return of the Jedi. I was 7. One of my favorite lines is that guy's wise. And Ewok said that guy's wise. come on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I love Return of the Jedi, but some of Harrison Ford's delivery is not subtle, right?
No.
He plays some of those laugh lines pretty big, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not a criticism. It's just an observation of the different styles of humor that can come from Star Wars. Yeah, I think for me, I think Douglas is super right to point it out because comedy is extremely subjective. There's some comedy that I think surpasses cultural norms to something like very, very universal. I think that's why really, truly great physical comedy, truly surprising physical comedy gets past language and just to the experience of being human. Right. Yep. But any humor that starts to really get into language and cultural expectations of what is normal and what isn't, and therefore what is funny between what you're contrasting and, you know, are you advocating in your comedy that things should stay the same? Are you advocating that things should change? There's so much in comedy that is subjective. Star Wars, also super subjective. Put them together. utterly subjective, utterly taste and life experience based. So I think I just like approaching it as like, it is always going to be something where people have really strong and different opinions. I think for me, you said it really well, Ken, of the comedy in Star Wars ranges from the like very light, very fun and silly and goofy. Chewie roars at the mouse droid and it does a little oop and turns around and goes the other way. And then Chewie kind of laughs, you know, that's from the original film. There's always going to be a little bit goofy, a little bit slapsticky comedy in Star Wars. And then there's going to be a lot of this sort of wry character based stuff, you know? And those are kind of the polar extremes of comedy. and Star Wars is always going to play at both ends of that spectrum. So I just kind of accept it. And there's things that pop up certainly in the prequels. I'm still not a fan of Vader's choke on your ambitions. That doesn't work for me, but I accept it because there's going to be lots of different kinds of humor in Star Wars.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So to Douglas's larger question about that genre exploration, back when we were all real excited about all these Star Wars story movies that were going to come out, we talked a lot in early days of Force Center about the different kind of genre movies that might come out. And, you know, the Disney Plus shows might lean harder into one genre or other. So to Douglas's actual question about different genres in Star Wars, we used to talk about this, you know, a lot when we were excited for all of the potential of a Star Wars story. But now we don't know what the film slate is going to be. We kind of don't know what's going to be on Disney Plus over all the years. So there is that possibility of Star Wars shows that really explore different genres and take them head on. If Star Wars stories start doing that, Ken, what kind of genres or stories would you be excited to see?
Yeah, with things not being on the big screen, less pressure on these things, right? This is the bonus of Disney Plus. And I don't know. I think I've talked about this one before, but I love the idea of gathering a team, underworld superstars. So maybe there's some rebels in need of some resources, and they're going to go Ocean's 11 style on the Canto Bight Casino. Just go in there, like Soderbergh's Ocean's 11. I love that movie. I've talked about it often here before. Go in. They need to get into Canto Bight.
Yeah. You want Meeber Gascon on the team? Do you want this to be a Gascon's 13?
I mean, you just got go picture right there for me. You know?
Yeah, that is a great one. The heist. Rogue One has a tiny, I think, element of heist, mm-hmm. but it's much more war and drama. Yeah. So a full heist and everything that entails would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen a lot of Clone Wars that can dance around with different genres, right? But yeah, give me that one there. And then the other one here, this is kind of a silly title. It seems like I'm poking fun, but I'm not. But I'm calling it Han and Leia Get Their Groove Back. And it is young and marriage. And I know we couldn't do it. Unfortunately, we couldn't do it. We'd have to recast. So you know what? Billie Lourd, throw her in there. She could play young Leia in my mind. But kind of them early, maybe Ben is a young kid. They're trying to, you know, keep the marriage alive while the galaxy is being rebuilt and all those things. Maybe the stakes are a little lower, but I go to the Empire Strikes Back banter, the Bogey Bacall banter that they got going on. I love that stuff. You know, I'm here to get you out. You got your clearance to leave. I love that scene. So give me some of that in a Star Wars Han and Leia love story.
Yeah, I think there's great on tap potential in, romantic comedy is probably a term that some people aren't sure about, but mm-hmm. that classic, like you're saying, Bogey and Bacall, all sorts of that kind of genre, you know, that kind of dialogue, that great sparking dialogue between a couple, you know, that appears in everything from screwball comedies to, you know, film noir. It's such a great tradition, that kind of just great banter to motivate a movie is great. Yeah. I also like the idea that if Ben's a baby, that he's, you know, crawling around getting into trouble.
And it could be like almost like a, I don't know, Romancing the Stone. There's an 80s reference or that kind of like where they have to go do something and it forces them to be together. You know, when maybe they're busy and already lives are starting to go a little different. You know, they got the kid, they got this, and it's a, you know. It's not like, let's take a honeymoon, but like, we got to do something for the New Republic. There's a problem we got to go solve. And now we are left with each other for the first time in years.
Yeah, I love what you're pitching because it is the action on the surface is what motivates the plot. But what's actually at stake in this movie that you're pitching is, you know, Han and Leia finding the spark.
There you go. Finding the spark. That's
finding the spark. My terrible title for the genre thing I'd love to see is Star Wars Two-Hander. terrible title. That would be the working title. But what I mean by that is it's similar to yours. I would just love to see any kind of buddy comedy or romantic comedy, something that just really focuses on a duo having an adventure. Mm-hmm. You're pitching this great Han and Leia vibe. I would love to see like a bounty hunter who has captured someone and they're just trying to take them to where they're supposed to go, but they get into some other kind of trouble, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of vibe. I think that's where comedy meshes really well in Star Wars. When there is action, there is excitement, but there's all this comedy bubbling up from these two people who are a little bit of an odd couple, but are in something together. Mm. The Falcon and Winter Soldier just did buddy comedy like really well. And I think it really just got me excited for that. But like, no joke. I mean, I think, you know, Dengar and the accountant, you know, you know, it's some accountant's been cooking the Hutt's books and is like kind of a little bit of a nerdier type and gets, you know, picked up by Dengar, but then they get in trouble and they got to make their way out together. Like that kind of buddy comedy. I'm not joking. I would love to see that.
Oh yeah. No, I'm there for that. That's great.
And then other thing for me, big one is there's been a lot of bits and pieces of horror in Star Wars. Clone Wars in particular had some great stuff. I think that opening scene of Rise of Skywalker and Palpatine's terrible mad scientist lab. But I would love to see full-on horror movie, like people stuck in a Sith temple, the haunting of Ryloth, that kind of thing. Nothing, not like Saw, nothing too gory or too torture porn, but much more this psychological horror, much more like a haunted house in a Sith temple.
Look, you know me, man. I get scared real easily. So this would be a challenge for me to watch that in Star Wars.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll arrange the all lights on in the theater screen of The Haunting of Ryloth. Last one for me is elements of this in many different Star Wars stories, particularly Attack of the Clones, but the private detective noir with the kind of the detective who's really trying to figure something out emotionally as well as a plot, but then marrying that to the political thriller. You know, I'm thinking of things like Raymond Chandler stories always have an element of class, of it's rich people doing something kind of awful, or, you know, Chinatown or LA Confidential. A lot of those things that we think of, the private detective noir with the shadows, a lot of them are always about political corruption. And so, you know, a shadowy tale of Coruscant corruption told through some sort of jaded private detective character would be great.
Can Obi-Wan do that too? Can we do
Yeah, I think we should just do it all. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The Big Kenobi. There you go.
There you go.
Great ideas, terrible titles. That's what we have to offer today. Thank you, Douglas, for the really fun question. I'm sure we'll be having more discussions about the big genre swings in Star Wars. But for now, we're going to go on to our final question from Ton Wee Twitty.
That's great.
It's really good. Ton Wee says, hey, Four Center crew, long time listener, first time commenter. It's time for a Star Wars Lord of the Rings crossover. If you could choose one creature from Star Wars to live in the Lord of the Rings universe, which would you choose and where would they live? Also, which Lord of the Rings creature would you like to see in the Star Wars universe? Would Bor Gullet reside on Mount Doom? Would you like to see Ents on Endor? Thanks for all the fantastic content. Thank you, Tanwi, for supporting us on Patreon. And thanks for this great question. Ken, you're a big Lord of the Rings fan. Where do you go with this Star Wars Lord of the Rings crossover?
I am. And I love the movies. I haven't taken a deep dive into the books yet. Believe it, like, don't come at me, people. I finally got a copy, a very nice gift for my engagement. That's like a personalized, like hand-bound version. I'm going to dive into that. So I've made pals with this guy named Daniel Falconer. He lives in New Zealand, works for Weta. So Joseph, anything we pitch, he's a big Star Wars fan. I'm convinced he could make down at Weta. All right. So let's do this.
He can just paste it in.
Yeah. He can just paste it in. So for Star Wars creature in Lord of the Rings, I am talking about a Rancor. Give me a Rancor. I think of a Rancor as a less fiery Balrog, you know, that Gandalf, you shall not passes. Not on the surface, not roaming around Middle Earth, but just deep down, like in the cave somewhere. What could you do with a Rancor? Could you befriend a Rancor? Could you ride a Rancor? You know, could you tame it and tame that beast and use it for your quest for good? That's a challenge for you there. You mentioned Ents on Endor. That's a great idea. I thought about the Ewoks just overall. Similar to like elves in Lord of the Rings. They live in the forest. They live and they're here to help. They're part of the plan to make things okay, but they kind of keep to themselves. You know, they're not sure. They're getting ready to maybe head. You have to convince them. Are you worthy of our help? And that's Chief Chirpa, low grade in Ewoks. So maybe they do a good crossover there. Some fellowship, some intrepid fellowship going into Brighttree Village, not unlike our rebels and needing their help is where I go on Star Wars to Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. No, I like that a lot. Having watched a couple of those episodes of the 80s Ewoks cartoon, I think the Ents would drop in there just perfectly.
I love that. Yeah.
So for myself, for Star Wars creatures in Lord of the Rings, I don't know why. My mind just went to Boga the Viractyl. Maybe because it's a named creature. But I could see Boga the Viractyl trying to run the ring up to Mount Doom, right? There's so much focus on, you know, the bird. Why didn't the bird just take the ring? Like,
right.
Why didn't the Viractyl just run the ring up there? Come on.
I could see that.
Yeah. Boga could do it. And then for Lord of the Rings in Star Wars, I think it's because that Balrog scene is so memorable with the You Shall Not Pass. But I just kept imagining the Balrog popping up on Mustafar in the middle of Anakin and Obi-Wan's battle.
Yeah.
We don't have time for this right now, Balrog.
right next to the Eye of Webbish Bog, right?
Yeah, the Eye of Webbish Balrog. There we go.
There we go.
We'll ask your friend to add it.
Yeah.
Last thing that I wanted to share is I feel that Tom Bombadil in the Bendu are definitely friends, and they definitely hang out and sing weird songs together.
There you go. There you go. And yes, and I understand, folks, that is from the books. Yes, I know Tom Bombadil. Yeah, for me, from Lord of the Rings into Star Wars, wargs, you know, the warg riders, two towers, the orcs riding them, wargs. So you can ride wargs. So maybe some Mandos on wargs and maybe some Jedi on blurgs. I don't know. The blurgs are real nice, but they're fierce, but just some burden of beast battles in the fields.
I might just be hungry, but you're starting to sound like you're describing deli sandwiches, right? Like, oh, a Jedi and a blurg. That sounds tasty.
it's a named sandwich. I'll have the Kenobi. There's capers on it.
The ham on rye, the Jedi on the blurg. Yeah.
Capers. Yeah. So there you go. That's a great question, Ton Wee Twitty.
Yeah, absolutely great question. Great fun. And it is fun to pull in our different interests as we celebrate Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. Those movies are heading towards their 20th anniversary this year, right? The first one?
Yeah, crazy to think, but yes.
Yes. Yes. Sorry to bring that up, but
yeah.
Trying to face reality. Anyway, those are our questions. Thank you, Tonwee Twitty, Douglas, Revan, and Mike. All great questions.
Great questions indeed. Hey, if you want to find us online or hear more from us, maybe you're relatively new. Maybe the Bad Batch brought you in here. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and Facebook at Force Center Podcast, YouTube as well. Podcasts available in a lot of different spots, including Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Amazon Music, and check us out on Spotify. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. You can find me at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, kennapsok.com. And as always, you know, lot to consider out there, but I am working with a group right now over at the Good People Association, working with a group called the Battle Buddy Foundation at tbbf.org. They work with veterans and especially those who suffer through PTSD, and they provide service animals for veterans to help them reintegrate themselves back into society. It's a great cause, and we're going to be doing some in-studio work with them over at the GPA, but just want to highlight them here as well. So, Joseph.
Yeah, you can find me social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and then you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com. for all my other comedy adventures. And I always like to recommend the service Vote Forward. It's a place where you can write letters to try to help convince people to use their power and get out and vote. That website is votefwd.org.
There you go. Check that one out. Thanks again for everyone listening here to this show, from Kenobi to wargs in space and a lot more. We thank you all. This was Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.